come together on this morning, thanking God for the many blessings that he has given us, being able to rise on this morning, have the activity of our limbs, and to be able to come to worship him in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
Scripture reading read from James chapter 5, verse 16. James chapter 5, and the verse is 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray to one another that you may be healed. Effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There may be some that are visiting with us on this morning. We're glad that you have taken out of your time to come and to be with us.
Amen.
Some have not been here in a while, and we have been praying for you, and it is good to see you on this morning.
Amen.
We have, as it was announced, there is a question box in the foyer, right before you go out the door. We encourage you, if you have a Bible question, to write that question down and put it in a box. And it is also asked that you put your name on that question so that we may answer that question when you are here. I have, since I've been here, have answered those questions when the individuals are here, except for one time, and then the person that was not here, I asked them to get a copy of the CD so that they could hear the answer to their question. We have a question that was put in the box. Actually, we have a couple, and we're only going to answer one on this morning. And the question, the statement, then the question, I was told that a Christian could pray for another Christian's sins to be forgiven. If that Christian was very sick or not able to understand and could not pray for themselves and had not died, is this true? That is the question. Is this true? Simple answer. Simple answer. No. Yes, no. I should have said yes, no, and yes, and then no. Reason being, I said the way I say that and give the answer the way I gave it, and I'm going to talk about some prayers in Scripture. We're going to look at two prayers in particular, or two statements in particular, reference to prayer. We are, as Christians, supposed to pray for one another. Yes. We are supposed to pray for one another as another is in sin. Yes. Can I pray, can you pray for another Christian's sins to be forgiven and those sins be forgiven if that Christian himself does not pray for forgiveness? No. You could sin right now. You could commit a murder right now. Lose your mind. That sin is still a sin that you committed. I don't care how many times I pray for you. You are still going to be held accountable for that sin. Why? You sinned when you had your mind. Then you lost your mind, so you say, before the courts, you're insane now. You cannot be held accountable by the courts. But the Bible tells us that every deed done in this body you're going to be held accountable for. Every deed done in this body, you're going to be accounted for. This would be great. This would be the ideal world. This would be the ideal judgment for you to commit a sin, and all of a sudden, I have amnesia and I don't remember that sin, and that sin is forgiven because of your prayer. I remember standing before a lady, me and this other brother, here she was in ICU, deathbed, still able to communicate in sin. The question was asked to her, are you willing to confess your sins and ask God to forgive you of those things that you have done in order to be right in His sight? You know what her reply was? I'm okay. How can you be okay in sin? You cannot be okay. Yes, we have individuals that we go and we pray with that we think that they're not coherent to what we're saying. We hold their hands and we pray for them and we ask God in our prayers from time to time to forgive us of our sins. And that person may squeeze your hand because they're listening and they're praying for themselves. And you may even see a tear or two fall from their eyes. I believe now that person understood what was being said, understood their position, and wanted to get their lives right with God. That's me thinking. Now, we leave all else up to God. But I cannot pray that your sins are forgiven as this, it was stated, if that Christian was very sick or not able to understand. That goes back to the simple. To the simple people that are unable to understand salvation. And we're saying that you have to be baptized in the water of baptism. Yes, there is water back here. In order to have your sins remissed by the word of God. You cannot force opinions on anybody. What you think, what you feel on anybody. So we have to go and we have to look at what the Bible says in reference to this. We're going to start out as we talk about this subject of sin on this morning or praying this morning. We're going to look at, again, we're going to look at one woman that was praying. And the Bible lists the word prayer around about 176 times. There are over 400 prayers that have been answered in Scripture. But we have to look at God's Word. And we have to say that, yes, I know that this person was in sin or this person is in sin. And we need to talk to that person. We need to try to get through to that person. And we need to pray to God that God may open up their hearts, that God may allow them to come back to their senses and understand what is being done and what is being said, and that they may ask God to forgive them of their sins themselves. 1 Samuel chapter 9. As we talk about sin and we talk about praying, there are some times where we think that people may not be right in their minds and they're praying to God themselves. They're praying to God because they know that this is the right thing to do. But then again, we need to ask, is everything that is being said and everything that is being done in the eyes of God, are those things right? Are they right? Saul was chosen to be king by God. And as Saul was chosen to be king, Saul was told some things that needed to be done. And we know that Saul did not do all that God told him to do. So we find that when we look at chapter 9, Saul, chosen to be king. We move on to chapter 10, and there he was, anointed king. Anointed king by Samuel, doing what God wanted him to do. And the Bible says in verse 17 of 1 Samuel 10. Now Samuel called the people together to the Lord at Mizpah, and he said to the people of Israel, "Thus said the Lord, the God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt, and I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all the kingdoms that were oppressing you. But today you have rejected your God who saves you from your calamities and your distresses. And you have said to him, set a king over us. Now therefore, present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands. Present yourselves before the Lord." Then Samuel brought up all the tribes of Israel near, and the tribe of Benjamin was taken by lot. He brought the tribe of Benjamin near by his clans, and the clan of the Maratites, and taken by lot. And Saul, the king of Kish, was taken by lot. And there, and when they sought him, he could not be found. So they inquired again of the Lord, "Is there a man still to come?" And the Lord said, "Behold, he has hidden himself among the baggage." And they ran and took him there. And when he stood among the people, he was taller than any of the people from his shoulders upward. Samuel said to the people, "Do you see him whom the Lord has chosen? There is none like him among all the people." And all the people shouted, "Long live the king." Then Samuel told the people the rights and the duties of the kingship, and he wrote them in a book and laid it up before the Lord. When Samuel sent all the people away, each one to his home, Saul also went to his home in Gibeah, and with him went all the men of valor whose hearts God had touched. But some worthless fellow said, "How can this man save us?" And they despised him and brought him no present, but beheld his peace. Now God chose this man to be king. He's going to be anointed by Samuel. But we also need to understand that when God has chosen someone to do something, that individual must do it the way God tells them to do it. Saul went against God's word. Saul failed to follow all the instructions that God had given him. So therefore we find that even when prayer is offered by one that God has chosen, that God still rejects that person. And that's what happened when Saul was told to go and to destroy all, and he decided to save some to sacrifice unto God. So I said that to say this, that we cannot offer up prayer on the behalf of a person that is unstable, a person that is unable to comprehend for something that they have done, and God forgives them for that sin. That person has to do that. That person is going to give an account for that. Again, yeah, we can pray all day long, but we have to ask the question again, is it true that that sin will be forgiven? Is it true that that sin will be forgiven? Now, let's go to the book of Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. One of the disciples, the apostle of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, from time to time we may say that Peter had lost his mind because of his actions. Jesus made a statement in reference to the actions of Peter, what Peter would do, and Peter made the statement back. We'll read it. And Luke chapter 22, starting with verse 31. Remember, we're looking at praying for someone that cannot understand. That's what we're looking at. But I'm making reference to people that can understand. Simon, Simon, in verse 31 of Luke 22, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. He demanded this. Give me Peter. I know that he would turn his back on you. Remember Job? How Job was what was right before God? How the angels of God came before the Lord and here come along Satan with them? Job stood strong. But Jesus, as he points to Peter and talks to Peter here, says that Peter is going to grow weak. He said in verse 32, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. So although we may pray for somebody that cannot understand, or we may pray for somebody that can understand, that individual still has to turn back to God. And that's what Jesus told Peter. He's demanded to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. Now, we may say the prayer of God, the prayer of Jesus, is a prayer that can nothing but be answered. Has to be the answer that Jesus wants, or the answer that Jesus is seeking. Well, let's think about Jesus praying in the garden. And it's a two-part prayer here, but let's think about it just for a moment. That this cup may be removed from me. That was his prayer. But you know, he didn't stop right there, did he? But not my will be done, your will be done. And the Lord's will was done. And so again, we're looking at this prayer here, and he doesn't say what the prayer was all about, but it's briefly, he says, I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. That's a sweet prayer. Brother Robert, I pray that your faith may not fail. Brother Brian, the same. I can stop right there, right? Don't have to say anything else. Now, it's left up to those two individuals to do what they need to do in order that their faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Peter said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Peter's lying, isn't he? He don't know he's lying, but he's lying. He has no idea what he's getting ready to go up against. Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny me three times that you know me. Three times. I don't know him. But look at verse 54. Look at verse 54. A lot of times we miss some things. But look at verse 54. Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. And Peter was following at a distance. You ever seen that person getting ready? You ever seen cops? You're taking this drug addict down, and here come his woman, and right there beside him, no, don't take him. What she was really saying is, I need my fix. Don't take him. I'm reading into it, right, Brother Brian? But a lot of times that's the case. But she was right there by his side. Look where Peter was, following at a distance. At a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. He wasn't there pleading, that's my Lord, that is the one I'm following, let me have him back. No, he's sitting there in the midst of the fire. We're right there getting warm with the rest. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said, this man also was with him. But he denied it, saying, woman, I do not know him. And a little later, someone else saw him and said, you also are one of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. See, they didn't gather this information from him following at a distance. They gathered this information from seeing him with Jesus, listening to Jesus, sitting at the feet of Jesus. That's how they gathered this information, not following in a distance. Peter was on a roll, wasn't he? But let's not forget, Jesus prayed for him. Jesus had prayed for him already. And he says, and after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, Peter was popular, wasn't he? People knew Peter, didn't they? Certainly this man also was with him, for he too is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you're talking about. And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. You know what Jesus, you know what God was saying to Peter? Peter, you need to shut up. You need to listen. You're talking too much, Peter. You're falling into the hand of the devil, Peter. Am I speculating? Or is that not what Jesus said? He's demanded to sift you like wheat. You're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. He says, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him before the rooster crows, today you would deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. Do we need the prayers of one another? Do we need the prayers for strength? Do we need the prayers of somebody saying, I hope that you will remain faithful in all that you go through in this life? That when the time comes and it is time for you to give an answer, that you may answer the call. And that you may be told to enter in, my good and faithful servant. Do we need the prayers of individuals? Yes, we do. But we also need to understand that as Jesus turned and looked at Peter, we have people turning and looking at us today. And they're wondering, why are you going down that road when you have been told that it's a dead end? Why? A lot of times we say, I just can't help myself. Well, although you can't help yourself, you need to help yourself. And that is the reason why Peter went out and wept bitterly. For he understood the words of Jesus after that third denial and that rooster crowed. And that look. I have no idea exactly what that look was, but that look. Have you ever received that look, Brother Brown, from your mama or your daddy? Oh, yeah, I know you have. Some of us still get that look. Jesus looked at Peter, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. You know what he was doing? He was turning back to the Lord. He was turning back to him. And he had a responsibility. He had a mission to complete. And that mission was to feed the sheep of Jesus. See, we have some people that have a mission. And we need to pray for them that mission may be complete. But again, each individual is going to have to give an account of all things done in this body, whether good or whether bad. I don't care if you've been a Christian for a day, for a year, or for years. When you sin, you have to give an account of that sin. You have to ask God to forgive you of that sin. Acts chapter 8. If I didn't go here, I'd be in trouble. Acts chapter 8, we find that the men of God, the women of God, they have been scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria because of the persecution that was at Jerusalem, because of the stoning of Stephen. And the men and the women that went out, the Bible says that they went out and they preached the word in verse 4 of Acts 8. Preaching the word causes individuals to ask that question, what must they do in order to be saved? And what is the answer? Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Well, we find that Philip was preaching the word of God. Preaching the word of God because that was what he was supposed to do. We drop down to verse 14. Verse 14. It says in verse 14, now the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God. Let me back up. I'm sorry. I went a little bit too far for you. Let's just start back with verse 4. We got time. Verse 4. Now those who were scattered abroad or scattered went out about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. He wasn't preaching himself. He proclaimed the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip. When they heard him and saw the signs that he did, for unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in that city. Now this is from the preaching, not the praying, but from the preaching of Philip that these things took place. But there was a man named Simon who had previously practiced magic in the city and amazed the people of Samaria, saying that he himself was somebody great. They all paid attention to him, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the power of God that is called great." And they paid attention to him because for a long time he had amazed them with his magic. But when they believed Philip, as he preached good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. As they started ignoring Simon and believed Philip, they were baptized, both men and women. Even Simon himself believed, and after being baptized, he continued with Philip, and seeing signs and great miracles performed, he was amazed. He was amazed. Can you help? You know, we have some people in here that are good at a whole lot of things. Have you ever been good at something but seen somebody or was with someone that was even better than you? And you complimented that person? No jealousy, no envy? The Bible says that he was amazed. He didn't ask Philip, you know, "Hey, let me do these things right here. Let the attention be brought back to me." He didn't ask Philip that. But he did want to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit when the apostles came down from Jerusalem. He was in sin. New convert. In sin. Look what happens. The Bible says in verse 18, "Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, 'Give me this power also, so that anyone whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit.'" At least he wasn't going to be selfish. He was going to distribute this power too. He was going to pay for it, and he was going to distribute it whoever he lay his hands on. Again, he wanted the attention there to be brought back to him. That's what he wanted. He got more than he bargained for. Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you." That's a bold statement, isn't it? No one wants to hear that what they have is going to perish and may you perish along with it. Nobody wants to hear that. So Peter didn't stop right there. He gave him a way out. He says, "May your silver perish with you because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter. For your heart is not right with God." Your heart is not right with God. There this person is, unable to pray for themselves, not able to understand, and still have a lot of life. We need to be praying with that person, praying for that person, asking that that person may regain conscience or that person may begin to understand again so that they may get their sins right to be right with God. That's what we need to be praying for. So Peter told him in verse 22, "Repent therefore of this wickedness of yours." Repent. therefore, if this weakness is yours, and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. Simon, you need to pray for yourself. You need to pray to God. You need to repent. See, we can't repent for anybody, can we? We're not going to have to answer for anybody come judgment, are we? No. Remember Ezekiel 18? The soul that sins is the one that's going to die. The father is not going to have to give an account for the son, the sins of the son. The son is not going to have to give an account for the sins of the father. The soul that sins is the one that dies. Yeah, again, we need to pray for one another. But we also need to pray that if this person has gotten to a state, yes, he or she sinned, had committed many sins, but now is in a state where they do not understand, we need to pray that God put them back in their right minds that they can get those things right. A lot of times people, they may develop amnesia. They may not remember this or that. That's God's business. God will see to that person. If that person get in, it's because God let them in. If that person don't get in, that's because God denied them. See, I really can't look at any of you and tell you where your mind is. I can't tell you what you're thinking. I can't tell you whether or not you're going to give an account for what you're doing this second or the next second. I used to tell the boys that when they was growing up in school or coming up in school and they would go to school and they'll mess up and they'll just be failing this, that, and the other, and Anita would get mad. She said, "Oh no, we're not having this." She said, "You're not going to say anything to them." I said, "Baby, I can't control their minds. I don't know what they're thinking, but I can't control their mouths." You remember? Peter's mouth was controlled. While he was yet speaking, the rooster crowed. He noticed Jesus looking at him. He didn't say another word. He went out and wept bitterly. Look what the sorcerer said. Look what Simon the sorcerer said. And Simon answered in verse 24, "Pray for me to the Lord that nothing of what you have said may come up on me." Pray for me. See, we have people to come and they ask for prayers because they have sinned. They have confessed their sins. And they're asking God, you know, to forgive them. They're asking people to pray for them that they may be strengthened, that their sins may be forgiven. And that needs to happen as well. But just because he asked Peter to pray for him, I doubt very seriously Peter denied him. And I doubt very seriously if the Simon the sorcerer didn't pray for himself. Because that's what Peter told him to do. Repent and pray. He was baptized, so he answered that call. Why not answer the call to repent for something that you have done wrong without having to get back in the water? What do you call that, Brother Brian? The second pardon of sin? Second law of pardon, he says. And that's what we look at when we look at this. He don't have to be baptized again. He's doing what God wants him to do. By listening to what Peter said, repent and pray. So it may be hard sometimes, not on the individual that does not understand. It may be hard on us to realize that a person has lived their lives in such a manner that God is going to hold them accountable. It's hard on us. When that person cannot comprehend, that person cannot understand, that person is dying, and we say, "Man, Lord, give him another chance. Give her another chance." And we need to ask that question. We need to ask God that because we know that this person has lived a life that's displeasing. You know, we shed tears when a person dies. It sorrows us. When a person dies, we need to shed some tears about people falling away from the body of Christ. We need to shed some tears about people falling into a state of being where they cannot ask for forgiveness for themselves. We need to shed some tears. Our hearts need to go out to them. And we need to ask God, you know, that again, I love my Westerns, and when that gavel is put down and that lever is pushed forward, and that man standing up there say, "May God have mercy on their souls." has lived a terrible life. Did Jesus say that on the cross? Lord, have mercy on their souls. No, he told the one that rebuked the other, this day you will be with me in paradise. The other is on his own. No mercy. We need to pray. Yes, we do. But we also need to understand that while we have our minds, if we fall short, we need to get it right with God. For tomorrow is not promised to either one of us. We only have today. Only have today. I hope that what we've looked at, that we understand that prayer is important. And yes, he tells us to confess our faults. Confess our faults. And that's what we need to do. He says it in 1 John 1:9. Confess your faults to God, that he may forgive you, and that he will forgive you, actually, of all unrighteousness. Confess your faults. Confess your faults. So we need to keep pressing. Keep beseeching, as we read this one in 1 Corinthians 1:10. Keep beseeching. Keep begging people to turn their lives over to God. Turn their lives back to God. Do what is right before God. That we won't have to worry about praying for someone else's sins when they don't understand. Three states. And no, I'm not talking about Indiana, Kentucky, and Tennessee. You either lost, you're saved, or you're simple. Y'all understand that. You're lost, you're saved, or you're simple. The simple one has nothing to worry about. The lost one has a lot to worry about. The saved has nothing to worry about. So we need to do what's right before God. And yes, you can become simple while you're saved, and you can become simple while you're lost. You're going to give an account of all the deeds done in this body, whether good or whether bad. If you're here and you're not a Christian and you want to become one, you understand that there is but one God. You understand that there's only one way to come to him. Jesus says, I am the way, the life, and the truth. No one comes to the Father except by me, in John 14:6. If you want to become a child of God this morning, the opportunity is yours. Saved after baptism and not before. According to Acts chapter 2, verse 38, repent and be baptized. 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure, whereunto baptism doth now also save us. Galatians 3:27, as many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Do what's right before him. Saul was told in Acts 22:16, as he recounts his conversion, Ananias said unto him, Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Maybe you're here and you're straight away. We're asking you to come back to the fold today. Confessing your fault, asking God to forgive you, asking the church to pray for you. As we stand and sing the invitation hymn, we ask you to please come.